Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, we begin today with more of our look at a couple of mass arrests in the city that have civil liberties activists yelling foul and the police pointing to, quote, gangs and the threat of greater violence in justification for their actions. Back in May, a group of 30 or so young people, primarily black and Latino, were arrested as they made their way en masse to a friend's wake. In dispute there is how disorderly the kids were being and whether gangs were involved. On Sunday, the police arrested 198 alleged members of the Latin Kings and other gangs at the Puerto Rican Day parade. In dispute there is whether those arrested were targeted by the police for wearing the gang colors and whether that number was an increase from arrests during prior parades. So how big a problem is gang activity in New York? And is it a growing problem? And do the police get it about what gangs are and aren't? Either way, the latest figures that we've been hearing from our newsroom say that 23 young men under the age of 24 have been shot in the head in New York City in the last month. 23. We will try to find out more about today's gangs of New York and how law enforcement deals with the issue with our guest, Professor David Brotherton, chair of the Department of Sociology at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice. And let's hear from you at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Tell us about your neighborhood right now. Do you think your neighborhood has a gang problem? 212-433-WNYC. And for anyone who has ever been a member of what you would call a gang in New York City, you call us too, 212-433-WNYC. And for anyone out there who thinks you have been mistaken by the police for a member of a gang and what that means, you call us too, 212-433-WNYC. 433-9692, or post comments on our webpage. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. Professor Brotherton, welcome to WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning.
You authored a book about the Latin Kings called The Almighty Latin King and Queen Nation, Street Politics and the Transformation of a New York City Gang. For those who don't know, what exactly are the Latin Kings?
The Latin Kings are an organization that began in Chicago after the Second World War. Some say it began in prison as a self-help organization. Others say it started in the street and then moved to prison in the 60s and became what was later called a super gang. It has an ideology called Kingism. It has a group of beliefs that almost calls its own religion, a set of strict norms and a structure. And the group moved or sort of franchised itself from Chicago to New York City in the late 1980s. It began in Collins Correctional Facility in the late 1980s by a New York City leader, a guy called King Blood, Luis Felipe, who became very famous or infamous for receiving the most severe federal sentence since World War II. He received over 200 years in prison, the first 40 years to be spent in solitary. That was in about 1997. The group was then taken over in New York City in the mid-90s by a guy called King Tone, who attempted to reform the group from this sort of street gang to what we began to call a street organization, which was something that had more of a kind of communitarian bent.
What's it today?
Well, today it's sort of in a limbo. It's not had much leadership for the last, I'd say, 5 or 6 years. And it's sort of split up all over the city in what they call different tribes. So you've got a group in Brooklyn, a group in Manhattan, a group in Long Island, etc. It doesn't really have much of a central leadership.
Do you think that the claims of the NYPD that they were arresting nearly 200 people because they were members of the Latin Kings, and again, I'm not even sure what relevance someone's status in a gang has to whether they're breaking the law. These folks were arrested primarily on charges like unlawful assembly.
Right.
And I don't know how they get to that at a parade.
Right. Well, that's exactly. I mean, it's overkill. You know, it's a panic. And this has been, unfortunately, the tradition of the NYPD for quite a few years when it comes to dealing with supposed youth gang members. You know, we saw this recently over here in Brooklyn when they arrested a bunch of kids going to a wake. I mean, it's par for the course. And, you know, unfortunately, there's ramifications for this, because what happens is it's nearly always the same kind of youth getting picked up, black and Latino youth in the barrios and the ghettos of the city. And it increases their mistrust and distrust of law enforcement, and increases their mistrust of adults in general.
Let me play a clip, actually, from our show yesterday of Una Chatterjee, who is an organizer with the activist group Make the Road by Walking, on how she thinks that police in the Bushwick case may have misinterpreted or overinterpreted anything about these particular 30 kids that led them to believe that they were gang members.
I think that oftentimes there are things about sort of style and dress and vocabulary that that many people attribute to sort of being affiliated with gangs, and I don't think that that's necessarily the way that young people. I think that young people may dress a certain way and have nothing to do with violence, be staunchly opposed to violence.
Does that ring true to you, Professor Brotherton?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, listen, kids grow up in the hip-hop culture. They might wear beads, they might wear colors, they might wear baggy trousers. You know, it doesn't mean to say that they, you know, they walk like a duck and talk like a duck, therefore they're a duck. And that's traditionally the way police have approached young people. They get tired with the same brush, and they need to be a lot more understanding and a lot more, you know, thoughtfulness when they deal with our young people.
And yet there is an issue between the organizers of the parade, the Puerto Rican Day Parade, and the Latin Kings. They don't want the Latin Kings there, as it's been described and reported. And, in fact, let me put out another shout-out for callers to include anyone who is at the Puerto Rican Day Parade. And if you are Puerto Rican and attended the Puerto Rican Day Parade, how do you feel about the Latin Kings as an organization? Would it bother you if they march in the parade? We had El Diario columnist Gerson Barrero yesterday coming on and saying, no matter what other trouble they may cause, on that day, everybody's just Puerto Rican. And so as far as he's concerned, anybody who's Puerto Rican can march in the Puerto Rican Day Parade. Anyone else could march in the Puerto Rican Day Parade as well. But certainly anyone who's Puerto Rican, Latin King or not, in his opinion. What about you? If you're Puerto Rican and marched or attended as a viewer the Puerto Rican Day Parade, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And beyond that, the questions I asked before, is there a gang problem in your neighborhood? Do you see increasingly gang presence in your neighborhood? Is this a concern to you in New York as it is in Newark, Chicago, L.A.? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And for my guest from the John Jay College of Criminal Justice, let me play for you, Professor Brotherton, a clip of Brooklyn DA Charles Hines on this program when we were talking about the Bushwick situation. This begins with my question to him. Is the gang problem growing significantly in Bushwick or any other neighborhood?
Not significantly. It's growing, and it's troubling to me. And we're doing a lot of things. For example, you'll hear about it later on this week with what we're doing in a particular area in Brooklyn. I mean to take down gangs.
And he says they're working to take down gangs, but he also says the gang problem is not a growing problem in Brooklyn right now. Do you have an opinion about the extent of the gangs and the change in pervasiveness of gangs in New York City in recent times?
Well, it's difficult to say. I mean, it's an empirical question, and the police don't really seem to like to share many of their statistics with us about gang-related incidents and so on and so forth. But, you know, there's a couple of things I think are very important. There was a study that came out a couple of years ago, 2005, on the amount of youth in New York City who are seen to be socially disconnected between the ages of 16 and 24. That means they're not in work and they're not in school. And the statistics are about 17% of young people in New York City are disconnected. These young people are absolutely fertile ground for being becoming gang members, members of street organizations, and whatever. The second thing is you've got a lot of people coming out of prison that were arrested in the late 90s. These were some of them are gang leaders, gang members, and so on and so forth. There's so little rehabilitation going on in prison at the moment. It wouldn't surprise me at all that the folks coming out of prison, the only social support they have are in civil society are their friends in the street gangs. And the third thing is that, you know, with so many people with felony records and all kinds of prison records, and the discrimination in the city is so strong against ex-inmates, a lot of people are permanently displaced from the labor market, which again is a factor when it comes to the kind of re-engagement with gangs. So a lot of factors are out there that I don't think we're particularly addressing.
Let's take a phone call. Javier in Bushwick, you're on WNYC. Javier, thanks for calling.
You want to come back up tonight?
Javier, you're on the air. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi.
One question. Has this man ever been to Bushwick or places like that? And if he hasn't, I'd like to invite him to live with me in Bushwick for a while and see what it's like to live with these gangs and find out if his liberal nonsense is going to go over here.
I know you from your previous calls. You're no Javier, but thank you for your call. Here's another Javier in Astoria. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Oh, yeah. Hi. How you doing? My wife and I, we've been making multiple calls to 311. I live in Astoria, right next to the river, Shore Boulevard and 21st Avenue. And it's really funny because the police at the beginning didn't put too much attention. It's my wife and I versus the whole neighborhood. We live next to projects. And during the day, you see kids playing, especially in the summer. You know, they hang out in the corner. They love one particular corner. Then seems to me that either the parents or somebody else is taking over, but they stay until 3, 4, 5 in the morning. And when you hear them talk, because I can clearly hear they talk, besides the N and F word, they always talk about guns and this type of adventures that they have with the friend or the other. They were about to shoot, they were, and all these physical movements that they have. We are really worried at this point because we always, the 311 call that we make is anonymous. But I'm suspicious that by now they start, you know, getting an idea who is the one who's... The police has been kind of okay responding to the calls, but there's...
Javier, did you drop out? Yes. So, Professor Brotherton, you hear Javier's experience in Astoria.
Right.
Sounds like something may be going on there.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly one hears reports in Corona, Queens, for example, in parts of the South Bronx, in parts of Spanish Harlem, that, you know, there's, you know, more activity on the streets and it seems to be gang-related. One hears this all the time, but we're not, you know, we haven't done studies to really test this out, and the police are not forthcoming with any other information.
Anderson in White Plains, you're on WNYC. Hi, Anderson.
Well, hi. I would like to address the point that how can anyone defend the Latin Kings' right to participate in a parade, anything, you know, organized by the city, by the state, and all, but it should be a festivity. Latin Kings, they're criminals. People forget this. How can anyone defend that group? Because they go out sometimes on initiation, and the initiation is murder. They shoot somebody in the head. As a part of the initiation, they put a father, they kill a father, a mother, they kill families. And that's what they are. We're talking about murderers.
Professor Brotherton, you wrote a book about the Latin Kings.
Yeah.
Do they use murder as an initiation rite?
No, well, we didn't. We were with the group from about 1995 to 2001, and that was far from the case. I mean, the initiation had more to do with doing things with the community and getting blessed in and so on and so forth. And when we were studying them, they'd actually abolished the notion of corporal punishment, which some other groups use to initiate, you know, which is getting beaten in.
But where does the criminal case. Where does criminal activity come in?
Well, I think the criminal activity comes in, you know, where there's certain members of the group that might be involved in the drug trade, you know, as there are with a lot of groups. The problem is that when people think of a gang, they think of one kind of stereotype, and there are so many different gangs. You know, there are certainly drug gangs and entrepreneurial gangs. There's social gangs. There's fighting. There's all kinds of gangs, as there has been throughout New York City's history. But the media and the film industry has kind of focused on one kind of gang, this kind of monster-type super predator. And that's far from the truth, I'm afraid.
So we just said goodbye to the Sopranos. Do gangs like the Latin Kings and the Bloods compare to crime families like the Gambinos?
I don't see that at all. I mean, I think that organized crime is one thing. I mean, the mafia and so on and so forth. And that, you know, that's completely intertwined with the history of American capitalism, I'm afraid. These other groups are, you know, much less sophisticated, less organized, and don't really have the same kinds of ambitions or connections to finances and industry.
There's in Bushwick, where the 30 plus kids were arrested, there was a strong dispute about whether the young man who'd been shot in the head was part of the Bloods or the Pretty Boy family is another gang name. Are you familiar with them and the difference between them?
Only through the media. But I mean, I think that if any kind of study in that area, you'd go back and you'd see all kinds of feuds and territorial disputes between groups in one project and another project that have been going on for 20, 30 years, yeah.
And is gang member fluid? Is the distinction between being in a gang and out of the gang not sometimes so black and white?
Well, I think there's certain people that are moving into the gang, and there's certain people moving out of a gang, and there's certain people that are kind of at the core of a gang, you know, more of its sort of stable leadership. And it does matter who you're talking to and their particular situation. Yeah, it's very important.
CJ in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, yes, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
I think what the whole issue is, I've been to a Perk in the Parade every year, and I think it was 3 years ago, we had the Latin Kings marching in the parade, and there was a whole melee of also Blood members that were there. And later on in the parade, I found out that there was a fight that broke out on the next avenue over on 4th Avenue. And I would like for Latin Kings not to be in the parade because it makes the people come to the parade a lot unsafe because of the violence that these gangs bring, you know, to these parades.
CJ, thank you very much. So Professor Brotherton, and my guest is David Brotherton, chair of the sociology department at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice and author of The Almighty Latin King and Queen Nation, Street Politics and the Transformation of a New York City Gang. Is it your understanding that there's been a kind of back and forth relationship between the parade organizers and the gangs? They were allowed in, then they weren't allowed in, then they were sort of allowed in. Have you been following this?
Well, back in the late 90s, there were both two groups, both the Latin King and Queen Nation, and also the Nieta, were also soliciting to join the parade. And at first, they were rejected. And I think then about 1998 or 1999, they were accepted into the parade. And the two or three times I walked in the parade when they were actually in it, there wasn't any trouble. I mean, there weren't any arrests, and there wasn't any melee. I think, you know, actually what happens is when you socially exclude people, you're often more likely to create conflict than you are to create harmony.
We will continue in a minute with David Brotherton, author of The Almighty Latin King and Queen Nation, and more of your calls on the Puerto Rican Day Parade, the Bushwick situation, the role of the police, and our gangs on the rise in New York City, 212-433-WNYC, or post a comment on WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. You'll see the gangs page. WNYC. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we will look at the latest in Rupert Murdoch's bid to buy the Wall Street Journal. Today may be a critical day in that process as the Bancroft family, which controls the Journal, issues guidelines that they want the News Corporation owned by Murdoch to follow if they do buy the paper, guidelines for editorial independence. But some say they have guidelines like that at the Times of London, which Murdoch also owns, and they don't do very much. So we are going to talk to an expert on the newspaper business coming up in about 10 minutes. But we continue with an expert on the Latin Kings, David Brotherton, chair of the Department of Sociology at John Jay College of Criminal Justice, author of The Almighty Latin King and Queen Nation, Street Politics and the Transformation of a New York City Gang, as we talk about the ongoing controversy over whether the NYPD engaged in a kind of preventive detention sweep of about 200 people at the Puerto Rican Day Parade on Sunday. The police brass says that all people arrested were arrested for things they actually did, mostly unlawful assembly is what they call it, not just for being members of a gang, but the gang, Latin Kings, not welcome at the Puerto Rican Day Parade. John in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. You're a New York City police officer, is that right?
I am.
Thank you for calling.
No problem. I just wanted to say two things. Anecdotally, I've noticed the gang activity, at least in the South Bronx where I work, has almost exploded in the last couple of years. Almost any violent act that I respond to now or we investigate, I can probably trace back and find some link. But that brings us to the other problem with gangs in New York, is they're not structured like gangs on the West Coast. You have, and I'm sure Professor Brotherton can back me up on this, because of the way gangs are structured in New York with the way the city is set up, you have maybe, you know, in each gang maybe 10, 15 hardcore gang members, but then you might have anybody else living on that block or that area will at times consider themselves a member, at times consider themselves an associate, and then when they're at school or at work, they don't consider themselves involved at all. And those are the people that probably are getting locked up on Sunday at the parade. You know, they're not hardcore gang members, but they show up on Sunday and they have the right tats on and they're throwing the gang signs and they're assembling knowing that they're not going to get into the parade and they're warned not to go. I mean, they do commit the unlawful assembly,
mm-hmm.
but you don't have the organization that you have on the West Coast.
Officer, go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
The other thing you don't have is it's almost a loyalty issue with the gangs. The Latin Kings and the Bloods and the Crips, the three sets we have in New York, have no loyalty to each other. You can have a Blood set on one street that's aligned with a Latin King set, and they're selling drugs together, and they're fighting another Blood and Latin King set. I mean, there's no central leadership like you have on the West Coast. But I don't want people to get the impression that the Latin Kings are anything but a criminal street gang. No matter what, I mean, from their very beginning, this whole thing about being a social organization is a sham. Anybody who's in the Latin Kings and sells drugs gives money from those drugs to the Latin Kings. And Professor Brotherton knows that. The RICO prosecutions in Chicago and the ones in New York back in the mid-80s, I guess it was, in the 90s, prove that. Beyond it, the Latin Kings originally were one of the most organized criminal elements in the country.
David Brotherton, react to any of that.
Sorry?
React to any of that.
Oh, I see, yeah. Well, actually, it was far from the truth. You know, when some of the leaders went on trial in the late 1990s, some of them busted under the RICO Act, the judge said that this was far from a criminal organization, and they couldn't understand why the DA and the prosecution was asking for so many years for people caught up in, pretty low-level relationships with drug dealing.
Well, do you disagree that people sell drugs under the auspices of the Latin Kings have to give the organization all or some of the money?
No, I don't agree with that at all. I think there's certainly members in the organization that are involved in drug dealing, but I think there's others that have nothing to do with it whatsoever and are working, going to school, and doing whatever.
Is
the entire aim of the organization in New York City at this point is to make money. And the way they make money is through the sale of drugs. And you know that. There is no credence to this social organization whatsoever.
So the two of you are going to disagree on this.
But can the professor please tell me what they have ever done to further the cause of Hispanic culture or help the inner city youth?
Well, they've done actually quite a lot. Again, when we spent time with them.
Give me one concrete thing that they have done.
Well, they used to hold, for example, on a regular basis, what they used to call cultural classes on a Saturday morning in the Lower East Side.
Hang on, officer, hang on. You'll get your chance, officer. Go ahead and finish, David Brotherton.
They were talking about Puerto Rican history. They used to have a check on the amount of kids going to school, and they used to have
what are called a law, which all kids of school age would go to school and they would promote school and so on and so forth. I mean, there were all kinds of things that was going on in the late 1990s, which, you know, at that time, the police wasn't particularly interested in, school authorities weren't particularly interested in, but they were interested in, and that's what we found out.
Do you agree, officer, that that might have been going on as well?
You know what? Because they had taught a couple of classes on Puerto Rican heritage and Latin heritage, they may have done that, and I'm sure they did. The other way you look at that is that's a recruiting tool. That's all that is. I mean, you can't honestly say this was an academic class they taught. No, it wasn't.
And working to keep kids in school?
What were the kids doing in school, Brian? They were tagging lockers with Latin King symbols. They were walking around with Latin King colors, and they were getting into fights. That's what they did.
Officer, tell me one other thing before you go, because it's come up a lot in the last couple of days. And since you're with the NYPD, maybe you can explain it. This idea of unlawful assembly as a crime, it makes it sound like preventive detention. If people are gathering for a parade, then they haven't done anything else to hurt anyone or violate any other laws. What is this idea of arresting 200 people as they come to attend a parade?
Well, the idea behind it, I wasn't there and I had nothing to do with that, but I believe the statute reads, and I believe the idea behind it is if you have a pre-planned and an organized gathering. So when somebody gets together and say, listen, we don't have a permit for this, but all 200 of us are going to show up, and we know full well that we need a permit for it, and we're organizing this display. It's not one family going to the parade. There's 200 people getting together deciding we're going to go en masse to this parade, or there's 40 or 50 people in Brooklyn deciding they're going to walk down the street all wearing gang colors and jumping on cars. That's what the unlawful assembly statute reads for. It's nobody's getting arrested that's showing up at the parade with their family. But when you have 200, you know, 250, whatever the number was, planning to show up, knowing that they need a permit, you know, I think there has to be some sort of organization and there has to be some sort of pre-plan to the whole thing. It's not just for a spontaneous thing either.
John, thanks so much for your call. I really appreciate it.
No problem. And Professor Brotherton, I did enjoy your class, so.
a former student, Professor Brotherton. How about
that? Well, that's John Jay.
That's John Jay College for you, you mean?
Yeah, in the sense that, you know, we have these healthy debates.
Well, that's a good thing. Carlos in Bayonne, you're on WNYC. Hi, Carlos.
Oh, how you doing, Brian?
All right, what's up?
I was on Fifth Avenue, and I was caught up in the middle of one of these sweeps. Everything was going fine. Until a float came up Fifth Avenue, it was sponsored by a radio station, WYSP in Philadelphia, and everyone just started going crazy. There was an assistant marshal named Kid Chris, and everyone just went nuts when that happened. And that's when the cops got all crazy and started doing the mass arrests.
And what actually precipitated, and how dare a Philadelphia radio station be the one to cause the fuss at a New York parade? But
I really don't know. I mean, this assistant marshal, he had one of those loudspeakers, and he was just trying to get the crowd all amped up.
Uh-huh. Right.
And he was calling for a mass bukkake.
All right. I think we knew where that was going. And Mike in Huntington, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
I just wanted to make a comment on a couple of things. First of all, I have to agree with the New York City police officer that was on the air earlier, and I have to disagree with the professor. To have this skewed view of the Latin Kings as a social organization is completely incorrect, and I think that the professor is taking it from a completely academic sort of scholarly standpoint. When you talk to people like New York City cops and people who grew up in the hood, I grew up in the hood and I grew up around Latin Kings, and I know for a fact because some of my best friends in high school were Latin Kings, and I know for a fact that there's drug dealing involved. I know for a fact that there is murder involved as a way of initiation. I know this for a fact. I've been around it before I decided to go a different way in high school myself. And now living on Long Island, it's interesting to me that I see this gang of MS-13 kind of taking the place of the Latin Kings in the El Salvadorian community as being marketed as a social organization, but they're not around these people who call these gangs social organizations to see the things that go on late at night. I had cops in my backyard the other night looking for someone because there was gunplay down the street from my house. Now there's MS tags going up all over people's fences in a suburb on Long Island. And I think it's ridiculous to cover the gang name with social organization. I think it's a way to make it sound like something much more pretty than it actually is.
Mike, take me one step deeper than this disagreement. What do you think is causing the rise of MS-13? Are there some kinds of social conditions, alienation, financial incentive, anything in particular?
Yeah, I'll tell you exactly what I think it is, because I'm also a history teacher at a high school on Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, what I think it is that when you get immigrants that come to this country, when they are marginalized, when they are alienated, they look towards what they know to bring a sense of community and a sense of togetherness. And what starts off as a sense of belonging, especially I think for the youth in particular, quickly evolves into persuasion into getting involved in the gang activities. And with the influence on the youth being what it is today and with gang culture, it's easy to go from I want someplace to belong because I feel marginalized in this country into, well, now that you're in with our group, sell drugs for us and help us raise money for our cause.
Mike, thank you for your call. We'll get one more in here. Marie in Bushwick. Marie, you're on WNYC. Hi. Hi, Marie. You're on the air.
That's my house.
Marie, can you hear me?
You're in my house. No wonder he's barking at you.
We're in your house, Marie.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry.
We're in your house, but you're on our radio station. Hi.
The gas guy is here. The dog's barking at him. I'm sorry.
Do you need to go?
No. He's gone.
Good.
let's see.
Put it out there.
I was calling about the don't snitch thing. Do you know about that? Or?
Yeah. Don't snitch where there's an ethic in some quarters not to tell the police if there's gang criminal activity going on.
Yeah, I had been seeing the T-shirts for a while, and I didn't really know what they meant. And I recently asked one of my students, I teach college, and she told me. And I have to say, I live in Bushwick, and it makes sense to me. I understand why people don't want to snitch. And this relates to the Latin Kings, who I have a very limited experience with, because of the us versus them thing. What I have noticed in Bushwick is that the police presence more often than not creates problems over little things for people who have enough problems already. And I've experienced that a little bit myself, just getting stupid nuisance tickets, you know, dog off the leash kind of tickets.
Marie, thank you very much. I'm going to let you go and deal with your dog and the gas man. And we're out of time, except for a final, very brief word from David Brotherton, author of The Almighty Latin King and Queen Nation. David, last word?
Well, just that we have to be very careful at the way we treat our youth in this city, that we have to come up with programs that empowers them, enables them to reach their capacities, and to recognize that young people are going to search for identity and meaning in life come what may. And sometimes it's going to mean they're going to join street gangs and street organizations.
David Brotherton chairs the sociology department at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice. His book from a few years ago is The Almighty Latin King and Queen Nation, Street Politics and the Transformation of a New York City Gang. Thanks a lot for doing this.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC coming up in a minute. The latest on Rupert Murdoch's bid to buy the Wall Street Journal. Can editorial independence ever really be assured? Stay with us.